All right, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight. We'll stand and we'll open up our hymns tonight to hymn number 260. Hymn 260. What a friend we have in Jesus. And of course, we spoke this morning about how he comforts us in our daily lives. He comforts us. Isn't that beautiful? We're missing a few folks tonight, but they said they'll be back next time. 260, and we will sing all three.
Oh, a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins embraced to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, heavy laden, covered with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee?
Yes, indeed. Please be seated, church. I just love the words of that song. What a friend. He sticketh closer than a brother. That is for certain. Well, folks, at this time, let's grab our Bibles. And I'd ask you to open to two books tonight. Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13. As you know, we're studying the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. All three Gospels are giving the same account of the Olivet Discourse, each contributing various factors to it, which Messiah gave them, okay? That's why we need the whole Bible. Not just one verse, not just one passage, but we need the whole Bible, comparing Scripture with Scripture. I'm so thankful for that. So, in Matthew chapter 24, we're going to read one verse, and then in Mark chapter 13, we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to preach. Now, tonight is the Olivet Discourse Part 8, moving right along. And as we come to our eighth installment of the Olivet Discourse study, we must remember, church, that Messiah is speaking prophetically of the events which shall transpire during the final 42 months of called the Great Tribulation. Okay? You got to follow the sequence of events. He will reveal tonight the coming regathering of Israel. That's going to be our topic. The coming regathering of Israel. But keep in mind, as I've shown you, Jesus is not speaking about the first regathering. He already referred to that, speaking about the one that took place in 1948 up to the present day. That is a regathering of Israel in unbelief. Okay? They're being regathered, but they're still in a state of unbelief nationally, though individual Jews are getting saved. He is speaking about the second universal regathering of the Jewish race, which is a regathering in total belief, meaning every single Jew on planet Earth will at this point believe in Jesus Christ as their Messiah and Savior. Okay? Now turn with me to Matthew 24 and look with me at verse 31. Get right going here. The Bible says, now remember last time we saw verse 30, we saw the cataclysmic celestial occurrences that will transpire at the end of the 42 months. You see that in verse 30? When the Son of Man comes in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In verse 29, the stars shall fall from heaven. Those are fallen angels. And the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Yeah, he's going to shake them out. And the sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The Jews will start speaking in tongues, just like Joel prophesied, just like Peter prophesied, that tongues business is not for you and me. We're not Jewish. Okay? Verse 31. And, notice the little word and, coupling the passage together. And, he shall, whenever this is, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Go with me to Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13, one more time, we read. Very important that we use both these passages, and we'll show you why. Mark 13, look with me at verse 27. And verse 26 says, they'll see him coming. And then, 27, shall he, Messiah, send his angels and shall gather together his elect, for whoever that is, from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these passages tonight, and how we thank you for the topic before our eyes, the regathering of Israel in belief. Lord, I cannot wait for this day myself, because I meet so many Jews on my Uber route, and Lord, they're in a state of unbelief. They believe that maybe some Messiah will come someday, but they're just real confused, not real sure about it. And I always assure them, your Messiah is coming. I'm waiting for him myself. Lord, we're thankful for the passages before our eyes tonight. And we're thankful that this universal regathering will take place at some point in the future. We thank you that your word will never fail, but every prophecy shall come to pass. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, folks, here we find the ninth aspect. Remember, there's 13 of them. This is the ninth aspect of the Olivet Discourse. That is the regathering of Israel in belief. Now, it is important for you and I to follow the sequence of events in the order that Messiah unfolds them. And the reason for this is simple, folks. The Olivet Discourse follows the exact same sequential order as does all the prophecies of Scripture, whether penned by Ezekiel, whether penned by Paul, whether penned by Daniel, whether penned by John. They all follow the same sequence that were being revealed by the Messiah here. Now, why is that important? They all use this identical order of events chronologically, and it is only when so-called theologians change the biblical order that the Scriptures give that false teachings arise. Like, you've heard them. Like, the church is going through the tribulation period. Or like, you must hold out faithful to the end in order to be saved. Good luck with that. Or like, God is through with Israel. The church has replaced her. These people actually believe these things. You know why? Because men have taught them falsely. Because they don't follow the sequence of orders of events as Messiah gives them, and especially as Apostle John gives them, and as Daniel the prophet gives them. Not to mention Ezekiel and Isaiah. Now, observe carefully here. that the elect nation is not regathered until after their regeneration occurs. You hear what I said? They can't inherit the land until they receive him. You can't inherit heaven until you first receive Jesus Christ. It's the same thing for the Jew. They have to receive Jesus Christ in order to inherit what he promised them. He promised them an eternal land, and they will get it. Now, look at Matthew 24 again. In Matthew 24, look at verse 30. At verse 30, we read Matthew 24, verse 30. And then, that's the end of the great tribulation. See that? And then shall appear the sign. Remember, he's already given them all three of the signs that will mark his second coming. The second coming, the end of the world, and the restoration of Israel. Those three signs he's given them. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now I've got a question for you from this verse. Why is the Messiah coming? In verse, you got to think when you read your King James Bible. Why is he coming in verse 30? Answer, because Israel, that is those Jews that were left alive at this point, have called upon him, crying out for him to come and be their Messiah and King. Something they didn't do 2,000 years ago. Now they do it, and guess what? Verse 30 says, then shall appear the Son of Man in the heavens. When Israel cries out for him to come, then he will. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. I'll show you this real quickly. Isaiah, the Bible is crystal clear concerning these prophecies and when the Lord will come. It's only after they ask him to. You know why Jesus Christ has been sitting in heaven for 2,000 years? He's waiting for this to occur. Look at it. In Isaiah chapter 30, look with me at verse 18. Verse 18, we read, and therefore will the Lord wait. He's waiting for something. And that he may be gracious unto you. Who is Isaiah talking to? He's not talking to a single Gentile here. He's talking to the Jews. And therefore will he be exalted. He is right now at the right hand of the Father. That he may have mercy upon you, whoever the you is. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. You see, there's always been true believers in Israel. For the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. What cry? Let's keep reading. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. They're receiving the Holy Spirit. Ye shall defile also, here's true repentance, the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. That's a picture of a Christian. That's a picture of a person truly being born again. They repent of sin. 23. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in a large pasture. It's a millennial day. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. There'll be plenty for everyone to eat. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of great slaughter. What? When? In the day of the great slaughter? I wonder when that's going to happen. Think. When the towers fall. That's a picture of the monarchs of the earth coming down, especially that Antichrist. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Oh, wait a second. Verse 31 of Matthew 24, it was darkened. Now it's coming brighter than it was before. Why? Something glorious has occurred. Israel's been regenerated.
They've called upon their Messiah, and he's answered them. And the light of the moon is as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. That day is coming, folks. It's clear here, and it says clearly in verse 19 that when they cry to the Son of God, he will hear their voice and come. See that? What is the purpose of the tribulation period? Think. You've got to see the big picture, folks. He's driving his elect nation to their knees to the point where they'll be so desperate they will cry out for Jesus Christ to come, and he will. They're so stubborn, this is the only way that he'll do it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we have an incredible passage concerning a diaspora, that's a dispersion of Israel, and a regathering of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 4. How many of you knows the whole Bible is prophetic? You got to realize this. The Holy Ghost gave the words to these guys. They didn't make it up. Deuteronomy 4. Look at verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you. Now, he just got through telling them if they fell into idolatry, that God would scatter them throughout the earth. Okay? So look at verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there shall ye serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, Israel, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That's all he's looking for, folks. When thou art in what? Verse 30. Come on, church.
Tribulation.
When, he's telling them when. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Now, what covenant is Moses speaking of here?
Abraham.
That's right, Don. The Abrahamic, which promised Abraham's physical seed a king, a kingdom, and a throne, right? And God said, I'm going to give you and your seed a particular land, and nobody else is going to possess it but you. Isn't that great? He hasn't done that yet. He's going to. And it tells us right here prophetically that when, verse 30, they turn to the Lord thy God with all their heart, with all their soul, verse 29. Joel chapter 2. In Joel, little prophet Joel, go with me to chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, just prior to Amos. And look with me at verse number 32. Feel free to write these down if I'm going too quick. Joel chapter 2, look at verse 32. Verse 31. What did Jesus just say? The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, second advent. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, Israel, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Delivered from who? Antichrist. Antichrist. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. That remnant refers clearly to the remnant of Israel going through the tribulation period, who call upon him and are gloriously delivered and saved at that point. Okay? After their regeneration, he will regather them to their land, because now they're fit to possess it. God always does things logically. Always. He does things in a order of logic. He's a logical God. Now, we must pause here, beloved, and realize that the regathering of which Messiah speaks about here is a twofold regathering, okay? And I'm not talking about the one in unbelief and the one in belief. This one is a twofold regathering, both in belief. They're both for true believers. Let's examine them first. First, for the, go back with me to Mark chapter 13. It's a twofold regathering in belief. I'll show you why. That's why you've got to pay attention to every word in the King James Bible. In Mark 13, the first phase, now both these phases of regathering will be simultaneous. There's no gap in between. They're simultaneous, but they're from two different origins. Look at the text. First, there will be a regathering for those Jews which are upon the earth. Look at Mark 13, 27. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth. See that? One group is coming from the uttermost parts of the physical earth on which we live. Okay? Now, in this first group, notice that Jesus Christ clearly reveals that there are two groups being regathered to the Holy Land. I'm going to show you why that's important in a minute. The first group are located on the earth, having gone survived the tribulation period. But who are they? Go with me to Zechariah chapter 13. Hold your place in Mark. We're coming right back. In Zechariah chapter 13, who are these guys? Well, they're not Australians, I'll tell you that much. They're not Chinese. Look at it. In Zechariah 13, look at me at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, notice the word land, talking about terra firma, earth, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. He just said that two-thirds of all Jews are going to die during the tribulation. Isn't that sad? They don't have to. They could just accept Jesus Christ now and not have to endure this. But the third shall be left. Left where? In the land. See it? Verse 8. Verse 9. And I will bring the third part of Israel through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. There's a regeneration occurring. And will try them as gold is tried. They shall, look at it. They shall what? Call on my name. And I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. There is a first group here on planet Earth who are going to be refined through the tribulation period, come to Messiah and say, I want you to be my Lord, my Messiah, and my God. And he said he will. They will be his people. Verse 9. See that? So the first group is these ones who are on the earth. And indeed, this one-third of all the Jews who survived the tribulation period on the earth are being regathered to the Holy Land from wherever they are on planet earth. Angels are carrying them, transporting them. I believe that's how we're going to be raptured. Angels are going to transport us, but maybe just be the Holy Spirit, boom us up, I don't know. But he's going to transport the Jews. You'll see a Jew flying by over your head. Wow, going to Israel, you know. One more and we'll move on. Isaiah chapter 11. Flip back to Isaiah chapter 11. I love how the Bible puts everything together to make it sensible. Amen? And no one of these prophecies are an island. They speak, God's voice speaks corporately. In Isaiah 11, look with me at verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day, that's the day of the Lord, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. When was the first time? 1948, right? The second time to regather the remnant of his people, which shall be left, yeah. Notice the first area he names, from Assyria. The Assyrian is the Antichrist, we know that. From Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from, that's Babylon, from Hamath, from the islands of the seas. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of who? Folks, you can't miss this unless you do it on purpose, unless you've got some other ulterior motive. And many theologians do. It doesn't fit their theology. It says the outcasts of Israel will be regathered and assembled and gathered together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the what?
Yeah.
Earth. They're being regathered in phrase one from the earth. Now, one more and we'll move on. Ezekiel chapter... No, we won't read that one. That one's a long one. Concerning this first group, go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. We'll skip the Ezekiel passage, though it's good. In Jeremiah 31, look with me at verse 1. Going to move right along. Jeremiah 31, verse 1. At the same time, watch how clear this prophecy is to you now. Saith the Lord, will I be the God of what?
Of all the families.
All the families of Israel. And they shall be my people. Folks, let me make a statement. It might shock you, because you know we're pro-Israel. Those Jews over there in Israel today are not God's people. They are his elect nation, but they're in unbelief. And when they die, they go to hell, like a lost Gentile. That's the simple truth of it. Notice what he says here. They shall be my people. You see that? Just because Israel is the elect nation does not make them all saved. They're not. They're not. Now watch this. At that same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all, not some like today, but all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Just like, folks, just like you are his people, we are his bride today. They will be the same relationship. They will belong to God like you do. Okay, you got to understand this. God's got great plans for them. Thus saith the Lord. The people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. Who's he talking about? The elect nation, not the bride. The elect nation, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He will draw them out of the wilderness during the tribulation period. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. You know, when God says something in the Bible, he means it. We always try to spiritualize and allegorize and parabolize what God says. We try to change what he says instead of just believing him. O virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant them, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry. Ephraim is the capital of the 10 northern tribes, Israel. Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion in Jerusalem, unto the Lord our God. They weren't doing that in the Old Testament. That's why he cast them out. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob. That's ethnic Israel. And shout amongst the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people. See? They're not saved until he saves them. See that? That's not rocket science. Save thy people, the remnant of Israel. In the tribulation, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the what? Earth. Earth. The first phase is from the earth. And with them, the blind and the lame, the women with child and her that travail with child together, a great company shall return hither. Yeah, like all of them. They shall come with weeping. And with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. Firstborn what? Nation. Ephraim, that's the capital of Israel. Israel is the firstborn of the nations, because it's his elect nation. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations. He wants the world to know this. And declare it in the isles afar off, Gentiles, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and what? Keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. He says, would I gather them this time, boys? They're never going to be scattered again, because I'm going to be a shepherd over Israel. Nobody can get through the shepherd. 11, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him, whoever the him is, that was stronger than he, Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow. Look at this. They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. No lack, no need anymore. It's millennial time. And they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy. And will comfort... Oh, we saw that this morning. I will comfort them. Israel's not comforted today, like we were talking about this morning, like we are, because they're in unbelief. But they're going to be. And make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest, that's the spiritual leadership of Israel, with fatness. And they're going to have the Holy Ghost. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. They're finally going to find what they were searching for all these thousands of years, the Son of God. Woo-hoo! All right, now, let's, with that, let's notice the second group. The second group to be regathered, back to our text in Mark chapter 13. Jesus speaks of another group, and it's very interesting how he separates the two in this one verse. The second group to be regathered again are all Jewish, and they are all true believers. Go to Mark 13. Look at verse 27 again. And then shall he, the Messiah, send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Not the heavens, but heaven. Jesus is speaking about the third heaven, where all Old Testament saints presently are. Well, why would he bring them? Glad you asked. Listen carefully. Notice where they're being regathered from, the second group. It's the heaven of heavens, where they now abide. But question, how did these believing Jews get up there? How did they get there? Why are they in heaven today? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see how they got there. And then we'll move on. In Ephesians, Bible is a fascinating book. It gives you all the answers. Amen? All you got to do is ask the Lord. He will shew thee. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at this passage. Fascinating passage. Verse 7. But unto every one of us, Christians, is given grace. Glad of that. According to the measure of the gift of who?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that's the ascension into heaven, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Time out, church, before we continue reading. Who is the captivity that he led captive? I know. Don?
Satan.
Who?
Satan.
No. Now, this is a reference to Psalm 68, which is a prophecy of the ascension of Jesus Christ and of the Old Testament saints that went with him. When it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, we know this is the ascension of Jesus Christ, he led captivity, that somebody who was being held captive somewhere, that's all the Old Testament saints. Where were they being held? In Abraham's bosom, called paradise. That's in the center of the earth, right? That's the other side from the hell side. It was beautiful, perfect, sweet, air-conditioned, just glorious. And all the Old Testament saints, they couldn't go to heaven when they died because Jesus had not yet risen from the dead. See that? But what he did when he died on the cross, he went down to paradise, preached the gospel to all the Old Testament saints, and guess what? Every single one of them received him. Wouldn't you? They all said, Messiah, you did it. You paid the price for our sins. And he took every one of them with him out of their captivity of paradise up to heaven, where they've been captive in heaven ever since. But they're coming back. Watch. Verse 8. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He had to get something. He had to retrieve something. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's fulfill all prophecy. All right? So, you see the picture of how they got to heaven. Jesus, we won't take the time to go to Matthew 27, where it talks about the dead bodies of saints arising after Jesus rose from the dead and walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Yeah, why? Because Jesus Christ had their souls with him when he came up out of, on the third day. He had their souls with him. Now, realize here, beloved, that all of the Old Testament saints who died in faith, starting with Abraham, right? Isaac, Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, David, I mean, you name them, they're all there, right? Why? Because they were true believers. They went to Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to heaven yet. The atonement wasn't made. But after the crucifixion, when they received the Messiah as their personal Savior, he went down to them, preached the gospel to them, they all believed it, and he took them back with him to heaven. That's why paradise is empty today. There's no believers in the center of the earth anymore like there was in the Old Testament. They're all in heaven with the Lord. Go to Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to show you a fascinating verse. Nehemiah, prior to Job. Go to chapter 1, prior to Esther. In Nehemiah chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 9. He says, I'll scatter you amongst the nations, yeah, but, verse 9, if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the what? Heaven. He's talking to the Jews. Yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Do you know what God just said? He said there's going to be a whole bunch of you Israelites when I come the second time to planet Earth that are already going to be in heaven, but I'm going to take you down from heaven to the Holy Land and give you the kingdom that I promised to your first father, Abraham. You see that? Folks, listen to me. It is absolutely requisite that Jesus Christ fulfill this promise. God is no liar. He's a gentleman who always keeps his word. And he is going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant to the letter by giving the Jews their promised kingdom. Even the ones who've already died in faith and are in heaven today. They're coming down. Now, again, when you see the word north in the Bible, prophetically, it's always speaking about heaven. Okay? Now, many times you're speaking about geographical north. But prophetically, it always speaks about heaven. Go to Isaiah 43. We'll see it one more time before we move on. Isaiah, 43rd chapter. And notice the difference in wording from those first group who were on the earth. Remember that? This is the second group. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Now, many Christians use this passage as a passage of comfort when we're going through trials. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But doctrinally, it's not speaking about you. Okay? Spiritually, it's speaking about you. And we can claim it, every word of it. Doctrinally, it's speaking about Jews going through the tribulation. Look at verse 2. When thou passest through the waters... you know, he's going to try to drown them, a flood coming out of his mouth during the in Revelation 12. I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they got to cross rivers to get to Edom, to Petra. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. There's supernatural intervention going on here. For why? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One. That's always referring to Messiah. The Holy One of Israel. Thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Yeah, he slaughtered a whole bunch of them down there in Egypt for them. Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable and I've loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the, what?
North.
Wait a minute. If you go directly north, you're in outer space till you get to heaven. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, have made him. Glory to God. Now, realize something here, church. In order for the Abrahamic covenant to be fulfilled, it is absolutely necessary that all, I said all, of the Old Testament believers inherit the land of Israel. Someday, somehow, they will. Because God is going to fulfill that promise that he always keeps his covenants. Yeah, I'm glad we're under the new covenant. Amen. Now, those Old Testament saints are Jewish. They'll be resurrected. Now, let's follow the sequence of orders. He gathers the living Jews from all over the earth. The angels bring them back. Simultaneously, the souls of the deceased Jews who are in heaven, those souls come down. Their bodies are what? Resurrected, Don. That's right. You're getting it. Their bodies are simultaneously resurrected out of the grave. Their soul goes into that body, glorified. And now they, with the living Jews from the earth, inherit the kingdom for 1,000 years. You see it? This is what Messiah is saying in verse 27 of Mark 13. Now, they'll be resurrected from the dead. And this is exactly what the Bible declares will happen. Go to, in closing, go with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. This is exactly what the Bible consistently prophesies and predicts. In Ezekiel 37, we have the Valley of Dry Bones. I preached on it. You've heard me. And look at what it says. Who is this prophecy speaking of? Of course, the elect nation. Look at it. Couldn't be any clearer. The hand of, you're already redeemed. You're already saved. You don't need saving. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is giving Ezekiel this vision. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Who are these bones in the valley? Yep. Who what? Died in what? Faith. They died in faith, and these are their dead bodies that Ezekiel is seeing, right? And Ezekiel's saying, they perished. Even though they believed. No, they didn't watch. Two, and he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They'd been dead a long time. And there was not even any sinews or flesh upon the bones. They were all dried out. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Remember, they represent dead Jewish believers. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye, bones, shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They're believers. So I prophesied as I was... Time out, church, before we continue reading. He's not going to do this for unbelieving Jews. They have a resurrection of damnation. That's another resurrection. This is a resurrection of believing Jews. You've got to understand that. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Resurrection. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now you have a physical body awaiting a soul to enter it. Where's the soul coming from? That's right. From heaven. Now watch. This is unmistakable what I'm showing you here. I'm going to show you why in a minute. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, that's the breath of God, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. It's a Jewish one. Then he said unto me, son of man,
these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our pots. No, you're not. 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the what? Folks, you cannot mistake this. It's in black and white, Mr. Theologue. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, Israel, and ye shall live. And something they never had during life. The Holy Spirit was not indwelt believers in the Old Testament. You know that. Only after Pentecost could a person be indwelt like you are by the Holy Spirit. So this is a new experience for them. But they were true believers. And ye I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you. Why is he doing this? Why is he resurrecting them? I will place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Wow. Back to Mark 13. Let's finish up. Mark 13. Oh, this book is something special. Let me tell you. It just gets gooder and gooder all the time. Mark 13, verse 27. It'll make real good sense to you right here, right now. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. No, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. To the uttermost part of heaven. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for an incredible study on the coming regathering of the elect nation Israel. One in total belief. Wow! Paul said, and so all Israel shall be saved. And what will that mean for the world if the diminishing of them be the riches of the world, but the regathering of them? Oh my! Lord, the entire planet and the heavens themselves will be blessed by you fulfilling this promise to the elect nation Israel. And Lord, I'm so glad that we've got something so much better than what Israel has. We're the bride of Christ. We will rule and reign during the millennium with our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, over the earth. Oh, glory to God. We're so blessed tonight, Lord. And we're so thankful for your word. What a great time had preparing this message, Lord, and realizing that you've got a great plan, a glorious plan, and that when you fulfill it, the whole universe will know that God is good. God is so good. God is so awesome. Thank you, Lord, for who you are tonight. Bless us as we're dismissed. Use us this week for your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, let's stand for a closing hymn tonight. Next week, by the way, we'll examine the parenthetical exhortation given by the Messiah so clearly in the Olivet Discourse. He does give a parenthetical exhortation, and it's a good one. Let's open up our hymnals to hymn number 161. And in hymn 161, we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. 161. Don't you just love to tell people the gospel story? Nothing like it. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory. Oh, Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. Love to tell the story till
glory, my theme in glory, to tell the awful story of Jesus and his love.
Oh yeah, third.
I love to tell the story, this blessed story beat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet? Yes, it is. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard that message of salvation from God's own holy word. Oh yes. Fourth. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Sit tongue ring and
here. I'd ask the ladies of the church to gather around Sister June here at the altar. She needs prayer tonight. She needs healing. She took a bad fall this week and busted up her mouth and cracked her tooth, and she's just rough shape there. So you pray for her, ladies, and we know the Lord's going to take care of her.